The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Nikki Glaser. It's Thursday. Thank you so much for listening and watching on our YouTube channel. You can find a link to that, you know, at Nikki Glaser Pod on Instagram. The link is in our bio. I overheard, Noah, this morning you were on Zoom with Andrew and Mark, our kind of technical creative producer. Love him. Mark and you guys were talking about the YouTube comments, and I was putting my duvet on my comforter.
You mean you were wrestling with your duvet?
I mean, I told Andrew, I go, tell them I'm putting my duvet on, so I'll be there in 2 days. So yes, I was getting some cardio in before the show, and I heard you saying that
I'm really surprised. Like, the YouTube comments are actually really, really nice. You know, aside from some of the spam, and I didn't hear you say spam. I just thought, like, aside from, and then I was like, I think I kind of went like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like, I kind of think I earmuffed so I wouldn't hear. And then you guys are like elaborating on the spam and how you're working to like get those comments removed or whatever. But I feel like even spam is positive. You know,
if it was spam, like free sex or something like that. So,
oh my God, that's positive too. It's sex positive. I'm grateful that the comments have mostly been nice. I'm definitely not reading them, but I was thinking like it might be fun to try to make our videos the most positively commented on videos on YouTube. Like, I think we might be able to do it. Like, I think that if I ask my fans, I think it might be good for people's souls. I don't want you to say anything that isn't true. So, like, if all you can say is, I like the mask the dog behind you is wearing in the shot, or I like that shirt, or what, or like, you have arms. Like, you can literally go write, you have arms, and with three exclamation marks. I just want to bombard the comments with positivity. Let me just say, it is double sided here, like, or it's, many levels to this. I want it because I want people to say nice things about me, even though I'm not going to read them, because I'm just scared that people might say something mean. Like, you might have an adjective about my arms, and even if it's a good adjective, it might not be the one I want. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of people say I look jacked a lot of times, which I take as a huge compliment because I don't do fucking anything for my arms. So, if anything, like, I'll get back. Let me put a pin in that thought for a second, because I do have a good point about that and we'll return to it. But I think that when you write something positive, and like I was saying the other day, when you do a service for someone else outside of yourself and just spread positivity, it comes back to you. And I know that's just like so.
Really, Nikki? If you spread cheer, it'll come back.
Like, we all know that. But maybe this will help you. Or like, honestly, don't even write it on mine. Like, let's just go on YouTube under accounts and like write positive things that and spell them right too. Does YouTube comments not have spell check? Is that what's going on there with why people just can't? It's just YouTube comments are notoriously like the dumbest things you read, right?
People are just like smashing their keyboard and pressing enter.
Yes.
You know?
It's keyboard cat on like doing this on the keys. Which is my favorite way of laughing on text is like just typing a bunch of nonsense. And sometimes it autocorrects to like words, but you know, that's, I think, the best way to be like, I'm laughing really hard. And I've been doing that since, you know, AIM days of like, ha ha ha, I would do ha ha. I never did LOL. That was like after my time on AIM. Like, LOL came later. But I was always doing ha, and then I would just go if it was really, really funny, which is harder to do with, autocorrect these days.
Wait,
let me circle
go back to being positive, because I don't know if you saw Ed Milet's post from a couple of days ago about that.
Oh my God. I love Ed Milet.
I know. Well, I started following him after you were on his podcast, cause I just love
obsessed.
Yeah. He's very positive and like, So anyway, so I don't know if you saw, but he wrote something about that. You can't force anyone to do anything, but you can repel negativity away from your life. Misery loves company, and if you create enough positive energy around you, it will become almost like a force field. Then the negative people in your life have two options. And then if you want me to read
either
it, I will.
Get positive or get out.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, it's either you'll repel the negative people away by your positive energy, which I've experienced, or they'll want to borrow some and it'll rub off on your friends and family.
They'll want what you have. You know, that's a thing in you know, recovery programs of, you know, when you see someone struggling with a thing that you've been able to get recovery from, you know, it's lead by, like, lead, don't, I forget, like, the, they have some kind of, like, rhyming, you know, little quote, like, meme thing that they say. There's so many, like, good quotes and, you know, recovery program stuff, like little things that I don't ever remember because I'm bad at remembering quotes. But basically, you can't tell someone to get help, or like you can't go like, you should do this. Like, shoulds are, someone said something that your shoulders hurt and like your shoulders get tight when you're weighed down by shoulds. Like, shoulders have the word should in them. So whenever my shoulders are like, oh, I'm telling myself I should too much, I kind of like that. And it sounds like the way Andrew would pronounce shoulders if he was reading it, shoulders. When you first get like recovered from, let's say, you know, when I quit drinking or when I quit starving myself and exercising to lose weight or, you know, just, you know, harmful things. I wanted to save everyone. I wanted to be like, you should do this, go read this book, do this. And now with like the Alan Carr stuff, I have, you know, the not smoking book and the quitting drinking book. I used to do that a lot, and there's still a lot of stuff out there that is me saying like, I wish people like you should do this, and me buying the book for people before they ask. And now I just say, hey, if you are interested in stopping that, I will totally talk to you about it. But like, come to me, no judgment. And like, you can come to me because, you know, especially in people close to our lives, I'm talking about my fans. I used to kind of be a little bit like more proselytizing about things. And now I feel like if you just, you want people to want what you have, you know? And I think that that's kind of what led me to feel like I could maybe recover from these things, is that I surrounded myself and put myself in the same rooms as people that were struggling with similar things as me. Not like exactly the same. It's never going to be exactly the same. But man, you would just hear stories. And, you know, there are podcasts available to people that are scared of going in certain groups that, you know, you've heard about recovery groups. There's podcasts of what those kind of groups sound like that you can access without having to go. And there's also like Zoom ones that you can go to, and you don't have to turn on your camera in a lot of them, or even introduce yourself. Even if they say, hey, anyone new, introduce yourself. That's the beauty of kind of recovery stuff, is that they know that the reason people are addicts is because they feel pressure and like not good enough. And so the best part about kind of recovery programs, and I think like everyone that I've encountered, whether it's in like a 12-step thing or not, is that it's just so forgiving. Like, you can just go and be anything and they'll accept you. And if you go and you're like, I don't want to talk, and they're like, anyone who's new, do you want to talk? And they know you're new, and they're looking at you like, do you want to talk? And you just sit there and you don't talk. It's fine. Like, no one makes you do anything you don't want to do when you're looking for help in these places. And I just want to say that. But
is it free?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, I don't generally talk about the specifics around how I kind of found freedom from my body image obsession and binge eating and starving myself and overexercising and all those things that I am abstinent from, you know, and that I, you know, maybe not forever, who knows? I'm only one day at a time, that kind of thing. I think that's one of their I mean, I know that's one of their sayings, but I do know that it is free. If you think what I can say is my own experience, and this is what you learn, is like only speak from an I place. And that's the best nice. Part about these kinds of places is that no one's going to give you advice. No one. Like you go in, from what I hear, you can go in, from what I understand from their literature, it's a place where you can go and share your story and be anonymous and trust that no one's going to judge you. And you know what? We can't help it. You're like, well, I'd judge people. I'd go in there. Are you kidding me? I've been in those places before. I used to go to group therapy with my abusive therapist. She used to make us all of her clients used to go together once a week and get together, which is kind of nice because we would take the elevator down after a session and just go, is she a little cuckoo? And it was just not, it was like suddenly this, the only child syndrome, you know, of like when you're an only child, the problem being an only child, I totally support parents who just have one child. I mean, I think I would have been fine as an only child. I always say though that the benefit of a sibling is having someone else to go, are mom and dad kind of fucking batshit crazy? Or like, don't they suck sometimes? Having someone to commiserate with. But I've learned that the best way to get people in your life who you desperately want to get to be as happy as possible is to not tell them about what you've done and what, you know, tell them what they should do and that, oh my God, you could do this. It's just to say, in my experience, when I have felt so-and-so way, I did this and this is what happened. So, you know, if anyone, I know I'm talking very vaguely, but I always extend the offer that if anyone ever wants to know what I did to conquer my bot, not conquer, but to cope and be really so much better than I ever have been in since I got an eating disorder in 2002. I've had an eating disorder for that long, off and on, like not even off and on, just always, just different forms of it. And for the past year and a half, I have been not completely free of food obsession and body obsession and all those things. It comes up, but man, it's basically like, okay, yes, sometimes I'm in detention, but I used to be in prison. You know, sometimes I have to stay after school and write on the chalkboard, but I used to be in solitary confinement for a life sentence. So that's the difference. You know, it's not, I'm not totally out of the woods, but it's just changed everything. And if you're interested, I always extend the offer to DM me on Instagram. And let me just say that a lot of times I don't see those because I get a lot of message requests, and I can't always write back a lot. But if you want to know how I've been a year and a half without starving myself or binging or overexercising, I'm always happy to tell you how in a private chat. But I want you to ask me. I don't want to have to just tell you. And in the Alan Carr book, I just want to say that got me to quit drinking. That's always something that I always tell people, just have it on your shelf so that when you're ready, you can just pick it up. If you just feel like you're like, I just knew at some point I wanted to quit drinking. It wasn't today. It wasn't tomorrow. It wasn't next week. I just knew that my long-term goals was to be someone who didn't drink. And so I just bought the book because I knew the smoking book worked for me so well. So, I mean, what's the fear? If you want to be a non-smoker eventually, or you want to be a non-drinker, which by the way, you used to be a non-drinker. You used to be a non-smoker. Like some people just go, no, I'm a smoker. That's just like who I am. Before you had a cigarette, were you a smoker? Were you like thinking about smoking all the time and craving it? No, you can go back to that. That is up in you. You know, you only are addicted to smoking because you did it once, but you can go back to that because you were before. You used to be someone who didn't drink. And yes, alcoholism is a disease and it's in us, but you can, for me, it wasn't so much a disease as it was, I had to just change the way I thought about drinking and I was able to release myself from it. Eating stuff, not as easy for me. And so, you know, everyone falls into different categories. But the thing I was going to say about my arms being jacked, let's get back to that.
Okay.
Because I have my dad's body. I have a dad bod. And It makes me laugh so much. Please, will you remind me of that? Because I want to add that to my act. Because I truly have my dad's body. Like, and I'm so proud. I'm proud to say that because my dad, I mean, I posted on my Instagram story yesterday a picture of my dad in the water with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law took a selfie. And my dad's in the background. My dad is so fit and honestly doesn't do much. He's just a naturally fit guy. And so I know that if I just, you know, continue on the track I'm going, like, I don't know, Noah, do you have a body type for yourself in mind that is like your body or like, do you like, can I ask you about your body right now?
Sure.
Do you like your body the way it is right now? Like, is this where you like to be?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I wish I could be like in a little bit of better shape, but I don't hate my body.
Okay. That's so when you are in, like, if your ideal look for your body, like imagine like your ideal, like what you could look like, is it within reach? Like, or is it a body that you're like, you know, or is it someone who's taller or like has bigger boobs or like things you can't actually do without surgery? Is it within reach when you think of like your ideal figure?
Okay. Well, I think it is within reach, but it'll be a lot of work because I really love women who are like a little bit more toned and like muscular. Mm. And that it's so hard for me to build muscle and stuff, but I wish I could.
But it is within, like, you're not imagining longer legs or
height and all
bigger
that
hips
stuff.
And smaller waist or anything like that is
over the just, bigger boobs.
Yeah, and over things that are not attainable
without surgery. Yeah,
yes, because I think that I always wanted things that were unattainable. And yeah, I know there's surgery, and I could. That's the problem is that there's always something that you could do. Mm-hmm. To change, to get whatever you want, you know, within reason, but with taking surgery out of the equation, like I always thought because I got anorexic at when I was 18 and I was always a really skinny child, like never felt like weird about it, but always very skinny, never worried about, was always like, this is going to be forever. Like I know that I was smart enough to know that skinny equals by what I was observing, let me just say that, by what I was observing from the way my mom talked to herself in the mirror, skinny equals good. And I was like, I have nothing to worry about. Then high school hit and I stopped doing sports and I started having more emotions and didn't have any drugs I didn't know about drugs yet or drinking. And so I started just eating and got heavy. And for my build, I got heavy. Did not feel comfortable in my own skin. And then I got anorexic. And then it just went from heavy to anorexic. I never knew what my body was as an adult, like what I was meant to be ever, because I was barely an adult. I got my period when I was like on the brink of 17. Like I was a woman, I was starving myself. So I just never knew. And I look at my dad sometimes or my Aunt Lynn and the way their bodies looked as adults around my age. And I'm like, oh, we're just we are naturally sinewy, kind of lanky people. And that is, you know, that's just the way I am. And a lot of times I have a lot of shame if I look too thin in pictures or I look like Mr. Bones, you know, like I freak out because I go, oh my God, you look anorexic. Like everyone's going to be worried for you. And then I start to like hate myself for that. Then if I gain 3 pounds, I start to panic that I'm going the other way of this girl that I hated in high school because I just felt out of control, you know? But now people will say things like, oh my God, you're so jacked. And I always go, listen, it's Sally Hansen spray. Like when I spray my legs or I spray my arms with Sally Hansen spray, I'm not joking you. It's a complete game changer, the amount of compliments and how much hotter, quote unquote, I look, right? But when people say I'm jacked, it's funny because Kirsten is a trainer, right? And she knows all about the body. She knows that I don't do jack squat for my arms. I mean, I'm a runner and I will run 4 miles at this point once every 2 weeks. But I'm not doing anything for my arms other than, you know, carrying groceries a block once a week. I don't know. And I'm not saying like, oh my God, I'm just naturally like have muscles. But the truth is I do. Like, it's just my dad's body. And so when people say, oh my God, you're so jacked. And I'm just like, it's natural. I used to hate girls that would be like, I'm just naturally thin. But I am. And that's okay. And you know what? I also have like, there's things about myself that I that aren't by society standard a good like something like aesthetically perfect or whatever. Like I have bags under my eyes a lot of times. I have puffy eyes, or I have like I just see this thing sometimes where I see like I have too much skin between my eye. Like my face seems to be falling off my skeleton sometimes. Okay, but guess what? That is just who I am. I just, with the same way that I accept the good thing that I'm happy I have the jacked arms, I also, I can't help that my arms just, and I go, I can't help it. And it's just like, this is the way I am. But why don't I have that attitude about things I hate? I can't help it. It's just the way I am. Why, with the things that are a part of my body that are just the way I was born without a fucking ass. I was born with a flat ass. It's, I know that I could change it with a lot of work. I don't have the time. It's not going to happen for me. All right. So why, when I have a flat ass, do I feel guilty about it? Do I feel like I'm failing in some way? But with my arms, I'm just like, it's just the way I am. Why can't I have that same attitude for everything? And someone wrote to me recently and said that my little advice one time of saying that when I look in the mirror and I feel let's just use the word disgusting. If I'm having a bad day, right? And I look in the mirror and I'm like, ugh, gross, or whatever. Something I don't like about my body. I said one time on a podcast, and I say this all the time to myself, God wants me to be this way today. I have to be this way today. I don't have a choice. It wasn't my choice. It, like, we talk so much about choices. I see so many things, Instagram stories or motivational things about the choices you make in life. You are not making choices. The choices you make are based on your brain structure, which you don't control. You don't get to figure out. You don't get to pick what your brain is doing. They are based on the nurture you got from your parents. You didn't get to choose your parents. So it's something else. It's not you. So stop feeling the blame for it, you know? So when the next time you look in the mirror, and I have to say this to myself today too, because I was looking tired AF, and I put pink eyeliner underneath my eyes to just distract. I wanted something else there besides bags so that I, you know, if you go, oh my God, she looks tired, you'll also be like, what the fuck? She has pink eyes too? And then it's like, oh, I chose the pink eyes. So like, you can't be mad at me about it. It's like something I chose. But also, I don't know what I'm getting at, but someone wrote to me and said that the fact that I one time said that like, God wants me to be, let's say fat. I said, God wants me to be fat today. If I'm feeling fat and I'm having a negative connotation about that, which you shouldn't, but if you, let's say you do. God, whatever, the universe, this is what I'm meant to be today. And let me just get through the day being like this. It doesn't have to be the way I am tomorrow, but it's the way I am today. Just fucking accept it. And you're supposed to be that way today. Everything was leading for you to be this way and not the way that of that girl on Instagram that you wish you looked like. They wanted her to be that way today. And guess what? She's not looking that way today. She has a lot of filters and she just, you know, look at her tub. It's warped. She definitely, you know, body tuned that. I hope this helps someone. It helped me. Thank you for letting me go on a you know, body image spiel. And let's get to more funny stuff. Let's bring in Andrew! What up?
I'm an island boy.
Oh, no.
I'm an island. What? What?
Is I feel that... like you're just doing alligator boy now. Like, we've lost island boy.
No.
How does island boy go?
I'm an island boy. I'm an island boy.
No, that's alligator boy, man. Boy man.
I knew Noah would get a good reaction starting
sunglasses with that. Sunglasses today. Why are you going sunglasses? I mean, I should have gone sunglasses.
Go grab some SGs.
No, I just feel like it, you know, the people have already seen what my eyes look like on this video. It's fine. I put some more pink eyeliner underneath.
I thought the old canker eyes.
No, the cankers are coming back, by the way.
What?
Dude, it's just like, I got to get more sleep.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to bed early because that's the only that's when my day is done and I want to hang out. And like,
how late were you up last night?
I usually go to bed around 1. Like, I fall asleep around 1. I got in bed at midnight.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to wake up at, supposed to have a call with my book lady, the woman I'm writing a book with, at 9 o'clock. And I had a homework assignment that she was like, write this story. That's like the easiest thing to do. And I was going to wake up at 7 and do it just like I did in high school, college, right before it's due. And I woke up at 6:45 and my throat hurt so bad. And I was just like, no, no, no. I, of all the things that I can cancel today, this is the only one that I actually is not necessary and isn't, you know, costing a lot of money and people depending on me. And so I wrote her and I was like, I feel sick and I can't do it today. I'm so sorry. And it was true.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. I got too much going on. And I told her, you know, I hate canceling and I'm sorry. I promise this is a priority, but I got a lot going on and this is the one. I just was honest. And she was so nice about it. And she was like, yeah, this is the one thing that, like, let's keep kicking this can down the road. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it's always nice when you, like, just today when I, like, accidentally formatted that card, I was like, and you were so cool about it. So when someone's cool about something like that, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's like, sometimes I guess people's worries, like, well, then it will happen again. She won't do her homework assignment if I'm not angry. You're going to probably want to do it more next time.
Yeah, I think of positive reinforcement has been proven to be the thing that works more than negative reinforcement. Like being punished or screamed at doesn't yield the same results as, like, you know, in dog training, anything. They're just like, don't punish, just reward. And
just put a Cheez-It in my mouth and say, next time, be a good boy.
The thing about punishment or admonishment is that sometimes I'm not doing it to be like, oh, this will make him never do it again. I'm doing it because I have no control over my anger and I'm really mad about something else
maybe
in my day, or
treat.
My canker sore's
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
what happened to your nux? Poop nux.
Oh, my nux. Today I was trying to unscrew my steamer.
Uh-huh.
And the hand, like, it was just, it just, you know, my hands get dry. This could be from digging in my purse. Like, my knuckles just will drag on something very lightly and start bleeding like crazy. So, yeah, I got into a fight with a steamer, with Stanley. I love steamers.
I would have burned myself. If I had to steam my hair, I would be, I'd look like Freddy Krueger in a month.
Steam my hair.
Oh, I meant steam.
Steam your hair. That would make it so frizzy.
Frizzy.
Yeah.
I meant, I actually didn't mean that,
okay,
but I did mean
clothing.
Just using anything hot.
Oh my God, steamers are so dangerous. People don't understand because it just looks like beautiful mist.
Yeah.
But it is, it will burn you so freaking fast. I feel like they're much more dangerous than
irons.
Is
it quicker than an iron?
No, but yes, because irons, unless you have an ironing board already set up and
yes,
it's usually like,
Oh my god.
And then you have to go undo the thing or go for if it's retractable.
And then you forget that it was on 10 minutes before.
Then you put it on and it has no water in it. So then you have to put the water in and it goes, it's spitting everywhere. And then sometimes the iron, like, starts leaking on your shirt.
Yes.
Like the water comes out too much because you overfill the
Sometimes you
line.
Get water though on the steam. The steam shoots water sometimes.
Yeah, those are malfunctioning ones. That's when you know you got to replace it. You're supposed to use distilled water.
Why?
Because it clogs up, like, the chlorine
Cage
and stuff.
Free?
Like, yeah, you're supposed to use cruelty-free water.
Women have to, like, you go from heating, you have to deal with heat so much as a woman.
Yeah.
That's true.
Your
heating
hair.
Pads on heating pads on our utes.
Ovaries.
Ovaries, yeah, that's right.
Women deal with heat way more than guys. In the kitchen, in your hair, on the clothes, on your ovaries. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
We take the heat a lot.
You take the heat a lot.
We, yeah, do you iron
Hot
your clothes
cramps.
Or steam?
I steam. I don't have an iron, just the steamer.
Do you have like a little travel one or you have like a big ass one?
I have one that an ex gave me for like my birthday.
Oh, a boyfriend steamer.
Whoa, does Avi know?
Is it like baggy and like have his varsity numbers on it? Yeah, does Avi know? Does Avi ever use it? Does he sense that you have like
Has he ever used it on his own clothes and been like,
why? We barely use it. We just dry our clothes and just fold them while they're hot, and that keeps them straight.
Oh, that's so responsible. Why I have a steamer is that I've never once taken the clothes out on time unless I'm loading in another load. You know what I mean?
Yes.
My clothes are wrinkly as fuck, and that's why I love a steamer is that you just... I have a hanger in my bathroom that stays there, and then I have the steamer already hooked up, so I just turn it on, and it's like within a minute... I'm getting steamed.
A dryer should for someone like us should have a snooze button where you're like, okay, I waited too long, it's wrinkled, I need another 10 in there.
Do you know that there's
there's a quick dry. But
no, there's a steamer button that is it's 20 minutes and it kind of injects steam so it makes it wet again and then it dries it.
On ours?
Oh, yeah, we got Yeah, we do.
Oh man, I never noticed that. Dude, I'm glad we brought this up. That's amazing.
Yeah, you'll hit it. I was actually just going to steam my duvet because it is so wrinkly and just like a nice flat white, white, it's pink, but like a nice duvet. Oh, and the brand that I love, by the way, is All's Well sheets and bedding. All's Well. The sheets are
All's Well.
All's Well. All's Well. Yeah. All's Well. It's so good. I really recommend them. I use that duvet and they have the little ties in the corners that you tie it onto your thing. And I just put it on and I think I'm going to steam it. Because
how did
I want it to
go? How long do you think start to finish? You finished
10 minutes. Less than.
That's still
7 minutes.
That's still pretty long.
There should be duvet Olympics.
I bet you there is.
Marie Kondo would kill it. I used to Marie Kondo all my clothes, that folding pattern. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. My older brother can fold like a fucking boss because he worked at Bloomingdale's.
Where he does where he lifts up the middle and it just like...
Yeah, if you worked in retail, you could fold anything.
Yeah, I was Marie Kondoing for a while, which is you fold everything so that it's like a... and then you can stack it. They all stack upright.
Do you
so
roll them?
No, you fold once and then... Give me that sweatshirt over there. I'll show you how to condo. Okay, so... I believe, if I remember correctly, you fold it like that.
Yeah.
And then you're going to do, and then you do one half. Oh, so it's different for everyone, but what you want to end up with is like a little taco of a shirt. So you fold it so that, you'll have to watch the video for this, you guys. And if not, just look up Marie Kondo folding method. And you would tuck that. Wait, so this one, I would actually do this because it doesn't have long enough. And you do that. Wait, hold on. I'm really failing at this. This, and then this. And then that
that's fun.
Would be like that. And then in your drawer,
a little
you
burrito.
Would open a drawer, and they would all be stacked like this. So when you open the drawer, you can see it perfectly like this. And you can do that with pants, tank tops, underwear, socks, everything.
How did Kondo become... Did she get on like Oprah or something?
I think her method is just really good. And the way she writes is very beautiful. Like, I was totally sold on the book when I read it. Did you ever read it, Noah?
No.
I got into Kondo right before I met you. I think in 2017 I started Kondoing. But I'm out of it now.
Yeah.
Now I just throw... I do a method that I used to see Amy Schumer do, which I always used to place a lot of perfection onto her in terms of like she just was the first friend of mine that like had her own apartment in Manhattan and like just had things going on, would have like checks laying around for like I remember seeing a check for like $30,000 one time on her like table, and I was just like, what is that money and why would you, like, she was just killing it and like a woman, you know, and she had this apartment that smelled so good and like you know it was just it was a cool little like lower level whatever, and I remember I was just like, God, she has it so together. But the one time I opened her closet, her like drawers, and it was just all of these clothes like thrown in, like no folding, just all a mess. They're all clean, but she would just dig through it and then she would steam it. And it was like, but she had it all in there so no one could see it. So it was a mess in there, but it was all like, you know, long sleeve shirts. Nothing was folded, just a mess. Short sleeve shirts, nothing folded, all a mess. And I was like, oh, you can just do that. And that's fine because sometimes when I fold stuff, I have to go through it and then it gets messed up anyway. I don't understand people that can just, that's the Marie Kondo method. That's why it works, because when you're looking for things, you can see everything at the top. You don't have to dig around. When you stack things, you unfold, it's like you fuck it all up.
What I do is I'll fold it and then I won't have room in my drawer. So I'll push it all in, and while I'm pushing it in, it unfolds and becomes shitty anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we doing? But I mean, it really is exactly who we are. I mean, a unfolded shirt inside a nice dresser, you know? I mean, yes. Mine is, a little bit more apparent on the outside too, but like we all are like that's more us. Is like, look, I try to be more organized at times, and I really do want to be an organized person. I think about it.
It's not your fault. I know. You're not choosing to be disorganized because you like want to be dirty and bad. Like we all would like to be, and you just go, well, why don't you just put in the extra effort and put away that spoon after you use it? But it's like, it doesn't occur to me. If it occurred to me, I would.
Or it does, and it scares me. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with my brain. But the thing that you told me that one time where the housewife lady said, if you're going to just throw it on the floor, then you're going to have to pick it up off the floor. You're just adding a step.
Yeah, that was Lisa Vanderpump.
Yes, that was a good thing I think about still.
Okay, so what is it again? Because I forgot that.
Essentially, it's if you're just going to, like, it's going to take you the same amount of time that you just put something up on like the dresser than just to put it away in the drawer. Now you're just adding another step and adding more time.
If you just drop it on the floor because you don't want to hang it up, you're eventually going to have to pick that up and
or
put
die.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
So just do it now. My therapist used to say if it takes under 3 minutes, do it.
Oh, that's everything.
Yeah.
That's exactly. The crazy thing about all of this shit.
Doesn't take long.
And then you learn it and then you forget it.
I get overwhelmed by how much stuff I have. And then when I start going through it and then I go, you know, yesterday I had this bottle in my, like all my toiletries and it was like this vitamin that I used to take. And I'm like, what? I don't take that anymore. Why is that still here? Because there's one vitamin left in it. And I
Hilarious.
Go, should I take it? Even though I don't take this anymore? Or should I just keep it in case I take it?
Did you take it?
I was so proud of myself. I threw the pill away with the bottle. I said, I don't need any of this. Goodbye. I had to make a choice. And it was hard for me to do because there was still one left. And that used to be, that's very expensive vitamins. I'm like, should I donate it? Who's going to have one of these?
Oh, I mean, it's the story of my life of having protein on top of the refrigerator.
Right.
Every guy and woman at this point.
Yes.
Has a protein jar on top of the refrigerator that is probably three moldy. Three good. At this point, it's turned into its own.
Kirsten went through our refrigerator and was just like, when I was doing recycling one time, and she's like, can we just go really quick through your refrigerator? I'm like, please don't. I don't want to look at this stuff. I don't want to have to like deal with it. And she started pulling things out. And I'm like, wow, that took 2 seconds. And the refrigerator's so much better looking.
Yeah, I thought it was going to stay there forever. I thought that was the refrigerator now. You know, it's like.
It does feel like. I kind of hold my breath when I open the refrigerator
door. I mean, my dad is the same. My dad, you know, I think a big reason why he got remarried is because he couldn't clean, like, after himself. Like, if you saw his office, this is a doctor with all cancer, like, papers everywhere. Cancer papers everywhere. Yeah, and then you get to the house, he had, like, one Diet Pepsi, and he'd have a pizza box with, like, a half, you know, just 4 pieces of crust still in there. It's kind of like the one vitamin. It's like, why is that even in there?
Well, the vitamin doesn't like attract roaches and like bugs.
Yeah, they're not healthy.
This is the thing. It's like there's a way to have a trashed space or a messy space that is not disrespecting yourself. Like I always look at my room and as an extension of like how I'm doing mentally. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to do that because a lot of times I'll be like, you're a fail. Like you're messy. Like this is who you are is your room or this, your car and the cleanliness is who you are. However, if my car has like wet food, like things that are just gross, that's me not respecting my, like, that's me actually, like, you know, when I clean up for other people, it's like, why do I respect people more than myself? Why do I want a nice space for
it? Do you respect them more or do you respect their judgment of you?
I don't want them to
you?
Judge. I want them to think, and I also know that they don't live like this and I don't want them to think that, I don't want them to judge me.
Have you ever left it just dirty?
I do not really tidy up.
You clean a little bit though in the living room.
But that gets me because that's the way I want it to look anyway. Yeah. And I know that I want to show my mom respect. Like she's coming over. Like that's the same way I like dress up for shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could just wear jeans and a t-shirt and everyone would be fine.
That photo you posted on Instagram where we're both wearing the same button down. Yeah, I was like, we've both come so far fashion-wise.
Well, I wouldn't have dressed like that at Caroline's ever, the way I'm dressing now. But like, I want to dress to show that people are spending $100 for a ticket for me. I want to show that I put in effort. So my mom, I wanted to show her like, you're coming over. Like, I know you're coming over and I'm excited. Here's what I have to present. But I really have let go of what my room looks like when I have like guys in it or you know, all those guys. When the GB comes by. No, it's just like me if having you could three clean your cans room, on like, my nightstand does not mean I'm a bad person.
If you could clean your room like you do your asshole, you would be.
I mean, you'd have the time I spend on my asshole. That's so true. I need a room douche. Let's get to the news.
Like a Roomba for your ass.
Dude, I just locked Roomba in my bathroom because he was just trying to get away with like not tidying enough. And I go, you finish the job. Roomba,
you put him in the bathroom.
He's stuck in my bathroom. I shut the door and I turn off the light.
What? He's
Roomba's
in the dark
just in there,
there
by himself. Just, it really is sad. I didn't mean to turn off the light, but then I was going to turn it back on. And I was like, well, Roomba doesn't need a light, but I do. I yes, feel it's like sentient.
He probably wants to get out of there.
Oh, he's definitely complaining. He's buttering up against buttering, like hitting the like ramming.
Yes.
But he had not cleaned up everything. I said, Roomba, you stay in there and you finish the job. You're not leaving your room until you get it done. Let's get to the news.
Hopefully he learns a lesson through this very negative affirmation. What's the word?
You heard it here first.
We definitely heard affirmation for the first time.
Oh, man. It is Thursday, so you all know what that means. It is Thursday. We have a great day coming up, or tomorrow. We're going to Milwaukee and Indianapolis.
Milwaukee talkie.
I've never been to Milwaukee.
Oh, it's awesome. It kind of reminds me of St. Louis.
Okay.
It's just like, I love Milwaukee.
I love a small city.
I love the Midwest.
Yeah.
This is our little Midwest run. Milwaukee, Indianapolis. Tickets still available, I believe.
Having all the swells out there on the road.
Cankers.
Affirmation. Okay. First story. When it comes to his three daughters, Joe Rogan says he's taking an active role in their knowledge of self-defense.
Oh.
My kids, he's quote unquote, my kids are allowed to hit me as hard as they can. I teach them, they're taking martial art classes, but I teach them it hurts. I went from being a kid who was terrified of conflict to being a martial arts champion. The reason why I became a martial arts champion is I was being picked on all the time. I was like, I do not like this, so I'm going to become what I am terrified of.
Well, what do you mean he's going to become a bully? You know, that doesn't really... I know.
That, I love that.
He wants to become the people that he's scared of that are picking on him, I guess.
Or at least become as tough or tougher.
Yeah, like he thinks he's so weak and like the thing he's scared of is probably fighting. And yes. He wants to be able to do it. But, yeah,
or able
running
to handle
into the fear.
Able to handle confrontation.
Ah, confrontation. That's probably what he's scared of.
It is funny to handle confrontation with a leg kick. It's like, oh, yeah. What? Oh, my report's not in on time.
Confrontation is so terrifying. People that are good at it, and people that are good at it are oftentimes like bullies and people to be good at it, I think, is to do it in the best way, but like, or to do it thoughtfully and like think about it before you do it. People that, you know, just snap to confrontation, not usually the people I admire.
There's a way to do it where I'm not good at it.
I'm
get either
nervous.
A wild boy. Like I'll
you
go.
Were good at it the other day when we were late for the airport.
I did good? Where?
Remember
with you?
When we were at the airport and there were people in front of us and we were going to be late for the plane?
Oh,
and
I did a very good
you
way.
You asked those people in front of us. Andrew stepped up and asked the people in front of us when we were checking our bags because we were running late if we could go in front of them because we were running late, which is a very, very few people are able to do that.
I did it with tact and like...
Yeah, it was very nice the way he did it.
I said, hey, old man, look at me again, motherfucker. Look at me.
And they were so nice.
Yeah, they were.
Even though you said that to them.
Yeah.
Because they were hard of hearing.
Yeah, they didn't hear. He felt it, though.
They were just like, oh, sure, we're here early. And you were, you know, like, you probably assessed them at first. They're an older couple. They didn't seem frantic or, like, nervous, so it didn't look like they were in a hurry. We were. And I really admired that because it's not easy to do. And when you're running late for the airport, you just feel so foolish and you feel like so annoying and like frazzled and to like beg people to let you go in front of you at the line. It should be a lot easier than that. We should just know as people that you let people ahead.
If that guy was if he turned around and goes, no, we're actually kind of late too. I don't know what I like. Like that's when I get it. That's when it doesn't work out, you know?
Where I would step in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, if he was like, he goes, you should have gotten here early. This is just the way it is. I would have gone, have you never been late for anything in your life, sir? Have the events in your life never led you based on whether you were negligent or not, led you to be late, and you wish someone would have extended this to you? Have you never, has that never happened to you? That's what I would have said.
And then he would go, where were you 30 years ago?
I wish someone would have done that for you, sir. Yeah. And guess what? You can do that for me today if you let us go in front of you. Like that. Yeah. The initial one is scary to me, but once someone has given me reason to be confrontational, I'll get in there. And I don't love it, but I that's when I
can. I also respect any old person that has patience. And I know that was Seinfeld. Seinfeld. When he's like, how are you not thinking about your death every day? Remember that scene?
They also did a thing where they realized Jerry's parents were shoplifting. And she was just like, I'm old. You know, like, who cares? Yeah, I'm on my way out kind of thing.
So, yeah, I mean, it was very nice. But, yeah, there is a way to, like, there's a way people do conflict where they don't raise their voice. They raise their voice just enough where if you go, why are you yelling? They're like, I'm not yelling. Go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead. You go.
Okay. Stop being so confrontational.
Back off!
There's a way, I feel, which I would love to achieve and learn how to be more assertive versus aggressive.
Yes. Yes.
And assertive is going into something like at full height, calm, having confidence, and just, you know, being able to settle the situation in like a very diplomatic manner. And then there's aggressive where it's like very emotional.
Right.
Ugh, it's tough.
Or there's the, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Like cowering before you even ask. I'm really sorry to bother you with this. And then when the person doesn't say it's okay, when you say sorry, fuck you. Honestly,
I hate that.
Fuck you. I dealt with this woman that was in the lobby of this hotel, and I had to store my bags in this closet because I had to go run and get lunch, and my car wasn't, you know, I didn't have a hotel room anymore. We had checked out, which is standard procedure at any hotel. Store the bags. And I had to get something out of my bag. She is in a lobby. There's no one checking in. There's nothing that's going on. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I forgot. There's something in one of my bags that I have to grab. Can I get in there real quick and just grab it? And she just grabs the key and just starts walking towards the closet. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. Thank you. Nothing. Ugh. Nothing. I'm in there digging around. I know what's in here. I'm 2 seconds. So sorry. So I'm so sorry. Like, just... me just begging for her to say, it's okay, nothing. Ugh. Thank you so much. Finally get it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Nothing. Wild. Wild. I mean, I could not believe it. I think it's so rude. And, you know, why do I need that? Because I did feel bad.
There is a way, like, people, yeah, I know. I
did feel bad.
But you know what? She has her own shit, obviously, going on. We could say that, right?
Yes. For sure.
You know, she sees you. Was she older?
No.
No? Oh.
She just wasn't. She was probably having a bad day, and she probably didn't care for my, like, she probably, you know, some women out there are like, never say sorry. Don't ever say I'm sorry. Women, like, all we do is apologize. Stop saying sorry. It's like, she might be one of those girls that's like, when she hears a woman say it, she's just like, so disappointed in how I'm a bad feminist because I apologize. And it's like, I'm not apologizing for my existence. I'm apologizing because I want you to like me because my mom drank a lot.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like, I'm sorry that, like, I'm working on myself. I don't want... Stop this whole thing of, like, women never say sorry.
Guys do
it's
it
just
too.
Like, stop that.
You're weak if you say sorry, especially in business. Never apologize. And it's like, fuck you.
But what if you turned it around and instead of saying, oh, I'm so sorry, like at the end you just said, thank you so much for your time, or just thanks for going out of the way.
I know
and
that's
letting
what you're supposed
in
to say instead of sorry, but I just don't think it shows as much. Because what if they haven't given you
assertiveness?
What if you can't thank someone until they've given it to you? So if I'm going up to say, I have to get into my bag, may I please get back in that closet? I could say I would really appreciate your patience while I dig through this bag. That's just so much. I just rather say, sorry, I'm really sorry I exist.
Well, I think like there's like a way to do, for me, when I hear assertiveness, it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. When like someone like, let's say you're late to your flight and you go up to the ticket counter and this assertive dad comes up and he goes, "Look, my family, we..."
That's aggressive.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So let me... Look, my family...
No, aggressive. Like, nope. You are responding to aggressiveness.
No, but I think people think that's assertive when someone's taking charge of the situation. And sometimes people listen. It's like when you talk like this and you pause and you think everyone's waiting for your... for your magical thought, you know?
Why does that trigger you?
I don't know. I just think people, anyone that thinks they're more important than they are just annoys me.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty damn good when I go up to a ticket counter and handle, like, a situation like that where, yes. like, you don't have to be like, I'm in control.
I know that being mean to people at ticket counters and being a bitch and like being aggressive does not get them to give you what you want.
Nope.
What does is being kind and understanding that their job fucking sucks and that they don't owe you anything and that they can maybe do you a favor. And you know, yelling at someone is never going to get you what you want. I've never seen it work. Any Karen who's yelling and being filmed, has she ever gotten what she wants? It just, you know, I understand why it happens because you get so embarrassed by your kind of anger and their response to it and they make you feel crazy. And so you get even more mad because you just are trying to, I shouldn't be embarrassed. I'm angry. Like,
and it's like, I'm panicking. Why are you not panicking? It's like, because I'm not getting on a flight. I don't like my job. I'm driving home in like 4 hours.
People
like,
that get mad at people who are behind a desk and like making, you know.
You did great the other day when our rental car wasn't there on time. You like ended up becoming friends with everyone in there.
Oh, yeah. They recognize me, so that always takes it down a notch. Well, they didn't recognize me. They just go, because I had my guitar. Oh. They're like, "You play music?" And I go, it's just a hobby. And they're like, "What's your Instagram? Do you do your music on Instagram?" And I was like, "No." And they're like, and I'm like, "I'm a comedian." Like, I think I volunteered because I was trying to get a little bit of like better service.
That's when you use it.
They fucking, at this rental car place, they even admitted, they go, "We're not paid enough to like, honestly, to work hard." And I'm like, "I'm with you." I go, "That's the problem with our world is like, I don't blame you guys." Like the guys washing the cars out there they make nothing. They make minimum wage to wash cars. And they're supposed to get through 3 in an hour. They don't because they could, if it's not this job, they could go get this job anyway. Like, there's always a job that'll pay this much. This one is just one of them. So they have no incentive to actually do the work. I go, "Do they get tips?" They go, "They don't ever interact with customers. So they have no chance to get tips. And we're dependent on those cars. So we get through people and we promise cars that are supposed to be done. And we can't get them to work harder because they don't make enough." And I go, "I don't blame them." And they go, "I don't blame them either."
Yeah.
And I was just like, and then, and then they looked me up on Instagram. The funny thing is, the guy goes, "Oh my God, I've watched you." Like, he talked to me for a really long time before he realized that I was the girl in the black dress with the lightning bolt on it. That he watched my Degenerate special just because of the dress. The power of dressing sexy. It gets people to watch you and then not remember your name.
I had that dress. I flew high five.
You delivered that dress. I forgot it. That's right.
At 12 p.m. or 12 or midnight.
Oh, my God. That was such a wild
Oh, that was
run.
Crazy.
Okay.
It looked great. And that's
next
set,
story. That was
that
a great
set
dress.
Is like fire.
Thanks, man. You helped me edit it, too.
It was so good. Okay, let me think.
And you were there for the taping. You were the only one there. In my posse.
That was a weird green
room.
We could talk about that.
Oh, it was so weird.
Everyone seemed on edge. I guess people are nervous.
We were like in a green room in a tent outside, and it was in Vegas, and it was like a weird setting. It was like the degenerates, like, you got to be dirty. Like, they didn't have us hang out with each other. We were kind of just like a weird group of comics that didn't really know each other. We all had like blankets because we were freezing.
Yeah, it was a weird night.
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John admits that Physical lyrics were raunchy for 1981.
Let's get physical, physical.
Everyone knows the chorus, but you want to know what the first verse?
Yeah.
"I'm saying all the things that I know you'll like. Making good conversation, I got to handle you just right. You know what I mean? I took you to an intimate restaurant, then to a suggestive movie.
This sounds like a guy, it was written for a guy.
There's nothing left to talk about unless it's horizontally." And then the second verse is more creepy. "I've been patient. Mm-hmm. I've been good. Tried to keep my hands on the table. It's getting hard. this holding back, if you know what I mean.
Oh, this is hot.
I'm sure you'll understand my point of view. We know each other mentally. You got to know that you're bringing out the animal in me.
I love it. But it definitely was written for a man to sing.
Yeah, I feel. Yeah, I think it was, for sure.
Especially the first
verse.
The
hard part, too. I'm getting hard.
Yeah, the hard, like, being difficult, like... God, he got so difficult the other night.
No, I think he's saying his dick's hard.
No.
Yes,
it was like,
listen.
It's hard.
Listen, he goes, you're...
She. It's a, I mean, it's entendre, but it's definitely... I
tried to keep my hands on the table. It's getting hard, this whole... Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You really think that they said it's hard explicitly in a song? And it's Olivia Newton-John, Sandy from Grease.
Yeah.
What?
That's
that wouldn't make
I
sense for a woman to sing if that's what they meant explicitly.
That's why I was so excited about it.
Oh my God, that's funny. Well, the lyrics too, the ones I heard recently that I started really listening to, girl, I want to make you sweat.
Yes.
Sweat till you can't sweat no more. And when you cry out, I'm going to push it some more. What? And when you cry out, I'm going to push it some more.
We talked about this.
It was in our dances, elementary school dances.
We talked about this on the car on the way to one of the gigs. We talked about it here on the podcast.
Oh, we did. Okay, sorry. I brought it up in the
car.
Remember,
I was like, I'm going to grab a knife. I'm going to stab you.
Bears repeating. I am so into that song. I'm horny for that song. It's like one of my favorite songs now. What are some other songs that are like very sexual that you're like, whoa, that gets me juiced up?
What's the one where I fucked her on the counter? It wasn't me.
Yeah, that's about like infidelity and gaslighting. But I'm trying to think of ones that I'm like, just like
me.
Song. Yeah, the thong is good. Like in terms of like explicit lyrics, but I'm trying to think of songs that like make me like horny.
You know what's horny? Belle Biv DeVoe had some horny songs back in the day.
You were singing
Poison. The people that sing that song, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then R. Kelly, unfortunately, you know, whatever happened to him, but my body is telling me no. My heart is telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. I don't see nothing wrong.
But is there anything that you listen to that you go, oh my God, that's so hot? Probably when a woman sings, I would guess. Woman singing about...
Ava Brothers has a song called I Wish I Was, and it's not sexual.
Hard?
Yeah. I wish I had a wet vagina. It's weird they sang it.
It's written for Olivia. It was Olivia Newton-John.
John wrote it for herself. Yeah, but she aged out of it apparently.
Let's get a physical. Go over and step on the scale and try to be thinner. Then you're gonna have that thing hit your knee. It's gonna test your reflexes. Lie about smoking and drinking. That's the song about getting a physical.
I love that song. You gotta cough when I grab your ball skin.
Yeah, I have. I should make a set list of horny songs and share it on Spotify for our listeners.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because there are definitely songs that I just am like so juiced up for.
Well, which one?
I can't think of an. I could look at my. We gotta go take a break. Let's come back and let people know what I'm juiced up for. Right after this. All right, so we're gonna get to. You know, our sports moment, but I just want to share a song that I might be a little bit horned up for. And I'm going to go with, I just have to look at my, Solo, Frank Ocean.
Oh.
Hand me a towel, I'm dirty dancing, by myself, going off tabs, that acid, form me a circle, watch my Jagger, can't lose my jacket, and hit it solo. One time. I'm too loud in public. Okay, so it gets to the part where it's like
he
just wants to, like, he's alone and he wants to hook up with this girl and like
guy,
it's just
guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gay.
I thought he was bi. Oh, well, I'm picturing him talking to me during this song.
Yeah,
so just
and
let
I'm
me have
him
it.
Talking to me.
So we let can me all have share it. That one's that's the first one that came up on my list that I'm like, that song is sexy.
His voice is just sexy.
Yes. You know, New Light, John Mayer, that can sometimes be a little bit sexy.
Backseat of my Jeep, LL Cool J. Mm. I hooked up to that in the back of my car. It was pretty on the nose, but it worked.
Oh, E.T. by Katy Perry and Kanye West.
What's that one?
Kiss me, kiss me, infect me with your love and fill me with your poison. Take me, wanna be a victim, ready for affection. You're an alien.
Dave Matthews.
That's kind of rapey too.
Tonight, let's be lovers.
Ugh. No, thank you.
Come on. Just give it a chance.
You know what? A guy ruined that song for me by putting it on a playlist for me of like his love for me. And now I'm so like disenchanted by that person that I'm like, fuck, you ruined Lover Lay Down for me. Wait, you motherfucker.
That's a different song though.
Wait, what did you say? Let's be lovers?
Tonight, let's be lovers.
Oh, please. Tonight, say goodbye.
Yeah, say goodbye.
Say goodbye is the sexiest song of all time. Ever. Thank you. Sorry. Okay, Lover Lay Down is.
Oh, yeah. But Lover Lay Down's nice. But yeah, that sucks.
All right,
ruined
let's get to the sports moment.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Man, I was gaming hot. man. Okay, this is a story that I don't know if you'll like, but we'll figure it out. Aaron Rodgers, who you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know him personally, but
he
yes,
dated
I know
Olivia Munn, who now has.
Believe me, I know.
Mulaney's sperm in her.
And he's married to Shailene Woodley.
Yes.
And married. He has a brother, Jordan Rodgers, who is a bachelor, and they no longer talk because of probably religious reasons.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers slams woke cancel culture after criticism over post game trash talk on a hot mic. He got caught on a mic. Apparently, he threw a touchdown or the game ended, and this lady in the crowd was giving him double birds. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and he's playing Chicago, and Green Bay, Chicago, big rivalry.
Right.
They're very close to each other.
He and goes, he's a Packer, right?
I own you. I fucking own you, Chicago. I fucking own you.
Okay.
And people are making a big deal of, I guess, using the term own, I guess.
Oh,
I mean, it's,
God.
You know.
No, stop. I mean.
Yeah.
That is. Was she a black woman?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
That could, and if he said it right to her face.
No. Well, he was saying it like in the term of
Chicago.
I own Chicago. And Tom Brady actually wrote it. It's nice to find out that you're a shareholder now. And
hilarious. So,
like, he made a joke of it. But Rodgers was asked about it, and he talks about cancel culture. He says, and there's a cancel culture at the same time. He goes, there's a PC woke culture that exists, and there's a cancel culture at the same time, and it's based on people's own feelings of maybe personal misery or distaste for their own situation or life, or just the enjoyment of holding other people down underneath their thumb.
Wow, he owned that.
He really owned that sentence, yeah.
No, he's absolutely right.
When you engage in this culture, you're immersed in it, and you're in it so much. For me, when I took time in the
immersed or immersed? Immersed.
Mersa.
Immersed.
Oh.
I think you said immersed in it.
Oh, no, I just didn't hit the M.
Got it.
Okay, immersed. Okay, this sentence is interesting for me. I think you'll like it. He goes, for me, when I took time in the off season to work on myself and to work on my mental status and to get myself in the right frame of mind, I was being selfish. Or non-responsive, selfish and entitled. When I came back and said what I said, the same sentiments were shared. So, yeah. I mean,
why did you like that sentence?
Well, I know I like that sentence.
Why did you like that sentence?
Because the media really, like, if he's not responding because he's working on his own mental health, you're being selfish to take care of yourself. But if he had cancer and he's like, hey, I got to take these 3 months off. I'm dealing with chemo. Everyone would be like, you're a hero. Battle it.
Yeah, please. Don't let us bug you.
Yeah, no one would call cancer survivor
selfish. You saw the Ted Lasso finale, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's all about Ted. You know, this whole second season is about Ted Lasso, the coach, having a panic attack and getting help for his mental stress. And then someone close to him feeling like, you abandoned me because you're working on yourself. Like, I didn't. You weren't there for me because you just disappeared when really he was working on himself. So it's almost exactly the same situation of like, now there's this backlash against him from someone who used to love him on the show because he worked on himself. And God, I love Ted Lasso and things like, and Aaron Rodgers saying stuff like this, because it's going to be very exciting when we see the results of men who have never even thought about taking care of their mental health starting to embrace it and almost think it's like, oh, that's what athletes do. Like, I'm going to do that. Like, when we see the results of that in the next decade and on, it's going to be It's going to be so good for we're going to need it.
I think there's something,
because things are getting shittier.
I think what will happen is someone will have issues early on and deal with them quicker because an athlete does it, rather than our generation where we waited till we had a full on mental breakdown to be like, oh, I think I need a therapist. Yeah. Hopefully they'll like attack it earlier on.
Sometimes you don't know.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah,
happens.
Hopefully it becomes more norm though to deal with it before it becomes something that you can't deal with.
But it's so embarrassing to deal with something before it gets to the point where it's bad.
It's like getting a. It's literally like getting a cancer checkup every 4 months just in case people go, "You're crazy." Like, what are you waiting for?
Or it's me saying, you know, a week ago, "Hey, I just don't want to do this writer's meeting." Like that I had today, because I just am tired right now, and I just in the future I might be tired that day, so I'm just gonna sleep in that day. That makes me feel lazy, as opposed to like waiting to the last minute and going like, I'm looking at my schedule and it's just like I can't. Like, that gives me more authority to ask for a break than if I just foresee myself wanting a break. Like,
oh,
and
so true.
I will, do you want to say, in Ted Lasso, there is a moment where one of the characters is like, presents his girlfriend with a 6-week vacation away. Like, And I go, what? I was watching with my partner and I was like, 6 weeks? And he was like, yeah, you would never do that. I go, no one ever, who takes 6 weeks away from work?
Europeans.
6 weeks?
They take 2 months off like it's nothing.
That is a wild amount of time.
I mean, write in if you're in Europe, but I'm pretty sure they take... They take an insane amount of time off.
But it was a little bit weird because he was like, 6 weeks, we leave tomorrow. And I'm like, she has to pack for 6 weeks in one night. I mean, I could do it because I'm a quick packer, but like most people, especially this girl, she wears a lot of like different barrettes in her bun and like always has different accessories. That's going to be a lot to pack up for 6 weeks.
I love how she handled that conversation.
It was, I just didn't feel it was realistic.
Mm.
You go away for 6 weeks.
I'll work on me while I probably fuck Jamie.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I do love them so much. I think seeing Roy, I mean, if you don't watch Lasso, I'm sorry for this Lasso talk, but seeing Roy's transformation has given me a lot of hope about men in my life. And like, I think a lot of men can see themselves in Roy Kent and where he's come from and how he's now handled conflict and things. This show is so good for men who are angry to watch. If you are a girl out there and you have a man in your life who's angry, it's a sports show, and it will make them just make them watch it, because they will unintentionally learn things about themselves and be more open.
I can see you rewinding some scenes and be like, I just didn't catch that. And
wait, what did he say? There's a joke there.
Yeah, there's a joke there.
Yeah.
I think he just cried and said, I need therapy. All right. It's a joke. It's funny.
Wait, I just want to see what sweater she was wearing. She wasn't in that scene. Okay, let's get to our weekly segment that I love so much. We have a lot to get through, so let's try to fit it. Fanthrax.
Fanthrax, come on. Yeah!
It fucking pumps me up. I'm not going to lie. It makes me want to fucking run through a locker.
All right, Noah, let's get into it. Run through a locker.
Yeah, inside. Oh, hit my head on it, to open it up. You don't remember that from movies?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
All right, so our first... should I read a voicemail, or should I play a voicemail, or read
voicemail.
A letter?
Voicemail. I love voicemail. I close my eyes too.
Yeah, Andrew meditates during these.
Okay, here comes a voicemail from Emily.
Oh my god, the Almay palette. Dude, I have hazel eyes, so yeah. I remember I got that palette, and I did everything that it told me to do. And my grandma said, oh, wow, you're really wearing a lot of makeup. I remember it vividly, but I knew I looked hot as shit. Thanks for making me remember that.
Almay palette. It was the first time I had ever heard of, like, you paint your lid one shade, the crease another shade, and then the brow bone another
shade.
Oh, is
that what that
shade.
Is?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
The company is Almay.
Oh, Almay.
But they made an eye palette for each, like, whatever color your eyes are to bring out the color the best. And so whatever color your eyes were, you bought that palette, and it would teach you, like, put the lid, make it brown. Then it's a light, then a darker blue in the crease, and then a lighter blue on the brow.
It's like a fade for your hair.
Yeah, I mean,
for
that's
your
essentially what eye makeup is. You make the crease, like you have to do different But that was the first time I ever heard of like kind of that kind of contouring, I guess, for your eyes. So thanks for, I love that she loved that reference.
Okay, next one is from Chase.
My bank.
Hey, Nikki. Oh, hey, good. Andrew. Hey, Noah. Love you guys. Love the pod. Massive bestie over here. Anyway, I just really needed to call in about Subway because you guys really brought back like this cursed, repressed memory when talking about the shredded let. Like it really just, I really blocked this guy out of my memory. It was amazing. So I was a senior sandwich artist at Subway for about 3 years in high school. Yes, wow. A senior sandwich artist. I make a point to say that because there were classes involved.
She literally replied to you when she goes, yes.
Anyway. This yep. man would come in and order a veggie sub every week, and he just was really creepy. Like, you know, just, you know when you meet somebody and you're like, they might be a pedophile. I don't know. Like, it's just very odd.
Well, Jared creepy, had to go visit weird man. Local
but anyway,
Subway
he'd come
locations.
In and just have this withering, like, thousand-yard stare and order a veggie sub every week. Ugh. And the amount of shredded let he would get on his sandwich, Nikki, like, it was disgusting. He would just look me in the eyes every time. I would give him a ton because I knew this man who'd come in every week. Ugh. And it would always be more. Ugh. That's how he would say it. And I was terrified.
Ew.
So I just, yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that. And thank you for reminding me of humble beginnings and how far we've come. And also, don't worry about that shredded leg, girl. I would always rip open another bag for him. No hesitation. If it was you coming in, girl. Bags on bags of shredded lead. All you
shredded lead.
I love this girl. Dude.
Anyway, I mean, bye. Love her. Thank
I mean,
you, Chase.
She's fun. This girl.
You're the best listeners. I've loved both of these calls.
Shredded lead. You said randomly.
Yeah,
and she
just like picked it up. And I want to hear more. I love stories of like customers and the weird things, the recurring customers that they would order. And I bet someone could call in and talk about me at different points in my life and the weird. Because I would go places and they'd just be like. All right, get out the let. Like
the only difference between that guy and you is you say sorry.
Yes, that's true.
You're like sorry more, sorry more, sorry more.
I read about in the Starbucks subreddit so many weird regulars and what the regulars always get and like these people that they just see them coming in and they're like, okay, 12 pumps of, you know, caramel macchiato.
No
syrup
coffee
plus a fizzy water and they'll do that. They'll literally do like. A splash of almond milk, like 15 pumps of a syrup, and like a decaf shot. And it's like, that's just, what are you doing?
I feel like these people.
Light ice.
Very bored people. And this is like a highlight of their life.
But that drink is very expensive. Yeah, maybe they're just rich people that are just like.
I just think it's like their one thing that they get to have a little control, a little power.
Yeah, possibly.
Be like, oh, I'm going to do 17 today. Like they like. Maybe like pace around, like, what's my order gonna be?
I saw your order has definitely taken a little.
At my order.
I didn't know whose cup it was, so I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is my drink. And then I was like, wait a second, that's slightly different than my drink, but very similar.
I like what you put in your mouth.
You literally. Yeah,
I asked you the other day if sugar-free vanilla is good, and you said, yeah. Why would I get it?
I go, he goes, is that good? That drink, that sugar-free vanilla, you always get it? Is that good? And I go, no, it's bad.
It was my way of precursing you eventually seeing that I got
it. I'm gonna precurse you, motherfucker.
No, but do you understand what I was doing there? I was being a little bitch because I was saying, oh, is it good? So then later when you see that I order it, we talked about it as opposed to me just ordering it and you go, oh, that's my order, motherfucker.
You could just say, I want to try that sometime.
Yeah, well, you know.
You could say that. Or you could just get it and just be like, Nikki, you're so weird. And that's fine too because I am. Okay. What's next,
right. Noah? It's delicious.
Next one is for Andrew from Megan and Leia.
Two girls?
Hi, New Jerky. I'm Megan.
And I'm Leah.
And we are best friends in real
life.
Shark
Tank?
Besties of the pod and besties in real life. And we just wanted to bring attention really quick to the first video on Andrew's YouTube channel, which is a stellar performance of a song called Pussy in the Face. And we were just wondering if maybe Andrew could perform it one time on the pod. And honestly, if Nikki could be involved in the performance as well.
Okay, I feel like I showed you this one time.
And Noah, thank you so much for picking this voicemail.
We love you guys so much.
We love you. Bye.
Oh my God. I love our listeners so much. Wait, Noah, do you have this queued up?
I don't. I thought Andrew was going to sing it.
Well, I know that he doesn't memorize his own lyrics.
Well, you know my lyrics are all repetitive. I could.
Oh, okay.
I could sing you the song
right
now.
What is this and what's the history of it? Like,
okay, so Crapo. Okay, you know, okay, it's going to take a while. I had a comedy partner named Crapo who was a Wookiee when I would do one-liners as Andy Shallows. I didn't even know this was still on the internet. I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
I'm very rock and roll here. And
I hope you guys hate it.
God, when is it over? Whenever you tell me to stop. Okay, it's stop.
This is in. Okay.
Oh, my God.
It probably could end.
I'm so sorry to everyone.
Don't apologize. That was a fun song.
It is really fun. Why? What is the story behind that?
Okay, so Crapo is a good musician. He played slide guitar when I would do one-liners. And so he had this place where he would perform. He had like a little locker,
A little storage unit.
A little storage unit where he'd play with his one buddy all the time. So I came by there. I know three chords.
You got a breath.
Yeah.
From what?
Just dancing pretty hard.
We were sitting in our chair doing this.
Yeah, I'm out of shape, I think. I was rocking pretty hard.
That's true.
Anyway, so yeah, I just played that. I put down a camera, a shitty camera on the floor, and I just filmed. I can't believe those girls brought that up. It's so funny how the world works.
It is. I mean, that you leave a video on your YouTube channel and they discovered it.
Yeah, it must have come up in their algorithm.
I mean, I had never. Maybe I'd watched that years ago. We've been friends for a while now, but no, I'd. Oh, and then it says, Andrew Collin, my Tulane stabbing. So your first video was 9 years ago, and then your last video, your video mm-hmm. after that was 6 years later. You took a leave of absence. What did you do in that 6 years?
I found God. I hung out with Aaron Rodgers in the Amazon. So you know, I was working on my own mental health, Nikki.
Let's get to the final thought. Mental health, I really do like that Aaron Rodgers said that thing. Mm-hmm. And it is about, like, when people want to just, like, cancel him, take it away, like, just don't buy his record or don't support. If you really don't like this person's art anymore because of how you heard they acted, don't support it. And if you hate a company for giving this person money after they, you know, did something bad, don't support that company. Like, show your... You can purchase power. Yeah, there you go. Purchase power.
Well, this is going to sell more jerseys.
People want people to kill themselves, I think. Like, that's what they want people, and not to kill themselves, maybe, but they just want they want to ruin people's lives. And I've been there before. I've been like a woman who's been scorned and wanted to like destroy a man's life and not like kill, like make him want to die, but I've wanted him to feel bad. I've wanted the intent to make someone want to suffer, even someone who's done you wrong, is not the appropriate way to feel, I believe.
I think you got to pick your battles here. I think if you're going after Aaron Rodgers for saying that about the Bears, it's like, and that's where you're going to put your time and energy into, it's like there's a lot of other things that you should try to be canceling than that. But I also don't, It takes a lot for me to think someone should be canceled. I think second chances deserve to happen.
Yeah.
Almost. Especially if
and
they do the time.
They always get special the second chances. And when you've gone out, when you put yourself out there being like, fucking take them down, you're going to be eating crow.
Here's the other thing. Aaron Rodgers is making $100 million this year. Like, he's not getting canceled anytime soon. Like the
but
idea.
You said, though, that there are athletes that, you know, the we were talking about the Houston Astros. Is that right?
Yes.
That got caught cheating by the guy slamming down a.
That's way worse than what Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so they cheated and got caught doing it. And all whenever they put something on social media, they get bombarded with, you know, people being like, you cheaters, motherfuckers, and everything. So they just they're just like, okay, we'll just play baseball then. We'll just like not be celebrities. We'll collect our millions of dollars and it's fine.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
Now I can't post a picture of my wife and kids with that, and I have to disable the comments.
Yeah.
But that's really all that's changed. Let me read one more letter that I got from a fan this weekend. I think I got this in Durham. Dear Nikki, where do I even begin? I discovered you in college amongst a lovely group of friends who grew up as comedy nerds. Around the time lockdown hit, I totally binged all your content. When you went home to your parents, you made it look so fun and relaxing. When my lease was up, I felt more okay about having to live with my parents. My whole attitude changed. I feel like you're a big sister to me. You're always so positive, and it's like you encourage me to be my best self. Whenever I have a bad day, I know I can turn on the podcast or one of your old specials or an old interviews and immediately feel comforted. I haven't always had consistent groups of friends and I'm kind of weird, but you and Noah and Andrew make me feel like part of a community. I love all the inside jokes. Apparently, I laugh so hard now at things like that and they consistently give me points of joy in my life at my SSDJ, soul-sucking day job.
Mm.
Thanks for helping me get a meet and greet tonight, too.
I love the paper.
I love how much I love comedy because of you now. I also love how you like to wear shirts and things about what you like because I do that, too. You consistently demonstrate what it means to be a good human. I wish the rest of the world was as empathetic as you. Thank you for everything. When I'm depressed, Nikki's there. When I deal with my stomach sickness, Nikki's there. And when I'm having a great day, Nikki's also there. You are a consistent source of light to everyone you touch. Oh, that's so nice. All the swells, Kristen. P.S. Skeletons are always laughing. Feel free to write me or reach out anytime. She left her number. And she wrote something, apparently the news on the side, and then Swifty for life. And then I want to F you as I want tofu. I love the inside jokes. Thank you so much for that sincere, beautiful handwritten note that I got at one of the meet and greets. I love you guys.
There's something about putting it on paper that it just means so much.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe because I'm old.
I love you guys so much. And like, yeah,
thank you for listening.
I can't say it enough. You've changed my life in the way that I look at what I do. And I love the love and I feel it back. And you guys are my friends too. And you make me feel less alone. And thank you so much for all the voice memos today. Thank you, Noah, for compiling those. And she said that there's so many, you guys, and you guys just keep bringing just great content.
Your A-game.
We're so happy. Yes, your A game is what she said. Thank you so much. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. It was a great week, and I'm excited for this weekend.
Yeah, good shows ahead of us. And there's going to be a special episode on Monday that you can look forward to.
And what about the...
Oh, yeah. We have a live podcast coming up next week on Wednesday. All the details of that will be released on our Nikki Glaser Pod Instagram page.
In St. Louis.
In St. Louis, a live podcast that you can come to the taping of. And there might be cameras there for other reasons as well. So look out for that information on the stories or a main post of Nikki Glaser Pod. And we hope to see you there next Wednesday, the 27th, in St. Louis at Joe's Cafe. And don't be cool this weekend.
Yeah,
please don't be cool and have all the swells and
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.